Just briefly this morning, I want to share with you a text. As we have a lot in the service this morning, but a lot that is participatory and inclusive of who we are as Christians, to be a part of this confirmation service and to stand beside these young people, and then to come around this table and to celebrate the meal that brings us all together and makes us all family. Those participatory things are really central to our worship. But I do want to share from the Word of God with you for just a moment. The chapter that I'd like to look at comes from Acts chapter 8, and we'll begin with about verse 26 there. There's a movie that actually came out a number of years ago now called Pretty Woman. How many of you have ever seen the movie Pretty Woman? Practically everybody in here. It's a very well-known movie. It's got Richard Gere and Julia Roberts in it. And it's sort of a modern-day retelling of My Fair Lady, isn't it? If you think about it. You ever thought about that? It's really kind of that theme. And My Fair Lady was sort of a modern-day retelling of a play called Pygmalia. So it's sort of a theme that goes through. But what I want to lift up about the movie is the way it begins and the way it ends. Do you remember the beginning of the movie, the very, very beginning of the movie? There is this street person. And he kind of walks up into the frame and he says, "Welcome to Hollywood, baby. What's your story? Everybody's got a story. What's your story?" And then the story begins and it tells, and it gets to the end of the movie and you see him back out on the street again and he says, "Welcome to Hollywood. What's your story? Everybody's got a story. What's yours?" Well, if I can take a real extreme liberty with that, I'd like to say to our confirmands this morning, welcome to the church. What's your story? Everybody's got a story. Because we all have a story. All people of faith have a story to share. The person this morning whose conversion we read about certainly has a story. Let's hear about this man who was the very first Gentile convert that's listed in the scripture. This very unusual man. God's grace moves in mysterious ways. And listen to this work of the Spirit this morning. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out on his way, and he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he answered, 'unless someone explains it to me.' And so he invited Philip to come up into the chariot and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture from Isaiah. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of the scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing." Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What's your story? What kind of story do you have? If you were to be asked the question to share your testimony, how would you respond? Basically, it's this. I have a wonderful story to share. Jesus changed my life. Within that story, within our story, We can share our faith experience with another and also allow them to see the redemptive story at work. This man, this Ethiopian eunuch, he's interesting for a number of reasons. Besides being the first Gentile convert, you know, God moves in mysterious ways. Why this man? He could have no children. That's not a way to start a faith. That's not a way to start a movement, by choosing people that are unable to reproduce and have more children and raise them up. But he came to this man in this heart. And as he reads this passage, it's very interesting how he intersected with the story. You see, a eunuch in that day would have been considered less than a man, less than a human man. Procreation was so important. And I don't want to speculate. There are a couple of theories of why he was a eunuch, whether that was by choice or circumstances, because sometimes people were made into eunuch to serve in places like he was serving. But because of that, he would, I think, have identified in humiliation he was deprived of justice. Something about this story connected with him and led him to understanding the larger redemption story. What's your story? How does it intersect with the redemption story? When I was growing up, I went to a lot of youth revivals and youth meetings, and I was always struck by the folks that would get up on the platform and share these incredible stories of conversion. You know, I can remember going with a youth group one time and hearing this person who had ridden with hell's angels and had done all sorts of incredible, terrible, vile stuff. And then he had discovered Christ. And it was such a powerful story to me. And I used to think to myself, you know, gosh, what can I share? I mean, I'm just kind of an average person. I don't have a traumatic testimony like that. You see, my story is like this. I was baptized when I was about 3 or 4 months old. My parents, as they stood there, made a covenant, made vows, as many of you have for your children, and said that they promised to bring me up in the church with the Christian faith, to live a life that would become the gospel to me, and that's what they did. They kept those promises, and God kept His promises, and I honestly don't remember a time when I did not understand, at whatever level I was at, God's love for me and God's work in my life. I didn't have this dramatic testimony of riding with hell's angels or going off and living a life of drugs or a life of crime or all those sorts of things. And so I began a time, especially as a young person, to feel a little bit less than, you know, that really Christian, because I didn't have such a powerful testimony. But as I grew, I began to understand what a powerful testimony that was. Because isn't that what we pray for our children when we baptize them? As little Luke has been born to Amanda this past Friday night, isn't that our prayer for him? That he may grow up with God around him and so much, and people that love him sharing God's love, and so much that for every place that he is, that he'll understand that God loved him. But within that, he could discover the redemption story as well. You know, I've had hard things happen in my life. Many of you have had hard, devastating things happen in your life. Some of you have a story that's very similar to mine. Some of you have a story that's closer to the Hell's Angels writer. But within all of that, we need to find the place where it intersects with the redemption story of Jesus Christ giving His life. Giving His life that He will pull us out of a life of sin and despair, are giving His life so that we might live as a child of the covenant, surrounded by grace, not being spared heartache and hard times, but being understanding God's love and God's movement at all times within it. That is the story. What's your story? Do you know your story? Do you know how it fits in with God's plan, with God's redeeming grace? Because you see, there are folks out there that need to hear your story. Because you have a story that tell that no one else can tell. You young people, you have a story that no one else can tell and no one else can share. And someone might just need to hear that story because it might be the thing that turns the light bulb on for them and makes them see Christ for who Christ is. What's your story? Every one of them is different. But yet, every story is the same. Because it all leads us back to this story. This story that we illustrate around the table. When Jesus, the night that he was betrayed, sat in an upper room with his friends, and he took bread and he broke it as an illustration to them, saying, "This is my body that will be ripped apart, that will be broken and bruised for you. Each time you take it, remember me." And then within that Passover meal, when they came to the cup of redemption, he held it up and he said, "This is a new covenant I'm giving you. This is my blood that I will shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you come together and break the bread and drink from the cup, remember me. Remember my story. Remember how my story intersects with yours and gives you redemption and hope." Let us pray. Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Make us one with each other in service, so that the world may know and understand our story, and that story may intersect with them in such a way that they will know the story, the redemption story of Jesus Christ. Be with us as a family as we are around this table this morning. Help us to remember who we are and whose we are in Jesus Christ. For we pray in his most precious and holy name. Amen.